Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if gaudy pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
Reveille, reveille, reveille! It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have three rounds in the magazine. Round number one, the DOD is asking troops to cease fire on the consumption of all things poppy seed, and this sent Kate down a big old opium spiral. She was checking it out. To clarify, we're going to give you a little bit of opium facts.
Right, I'm not truly in an opium spiral. I don't want rumors to get started. It was an opium facts spiral.
Well, that's exactly what somebody would say who is trying to hide their opium.
Yeah.
Viral. So
See right through you.
Round number two. Attention troops EASing soon. A health brand is seeking professional poop smellers. Poop sommeliers is what they're calling. Poop sommeliers.
Yep. Poop sommeliers. Poop sommeliers.
Poop sommeliers. Something. Round number three. A pilot in training thought his instructor was pulling a little prank, doing a little goof. But it turns out that the trainer no longer was alive. And the
right.
Sucks.
It's yeah. A bad prank.
Kate, having this one as a joke round is a little extreme, in my opinion. But
dark. I didn't say it was a joke. I was just saying it's a prank.
Yeah,
we're
just reporting the news, folks. Reporting the news. Don't blame us. Blame the news. All right, let's get going with the show today. Kate, what we have for round one?
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number smart bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
So this all kicked off earlier this week when the DOD released a memorandum asking troops to no longer, could you guys please note, you all got to stop eating poppy stuff. I'll get into that in a second, because this led me to, I know that, there's the joke, like if you eat a bunch of poppy seed stuff, you'll pop on a piss test for opium and whatever. But I never really knew. And even I was in Afghanistan in the most heavily in Marja, poppies everywhere. I was there in the spring when the poppies bloomed. I was in compounds where like the black tar or heroin of jugs of it, where they cut them open and they get the like, but I still didn't really know that much about it. I went down a rabbit hole. So before we get to the story about why we can't have the seeds, let me tell you a little something, including the opium wars.
Okay.
Which I didn't know the background of. Poppies. Those beautiful little flowers that give us opium, which what comes from opium? Morphine, codeine, heroin, and oxycodone. So a lot of heavy hitters coming from this beautiful little flower.
They call that in the biz the old kit and caboodle.
The old kit and caboodle. 3,400 BC is the first time in history notes that people are like, oh, shit, you guys tried this opium flower? Oh, shit, it's popping off.
I always think that first triers... Very strange, like peanuts and walnuts. Who just picks those up and like, I got to eat these. Let me roast them.
Who figured out, like, if you
I mean,
this
you
toad,
could say that for a lot of.
Oh, yeah. Potatoes.
Food, like, who thought
potatoes?
This would be good to eat?
A pineapple?
Well, so 3,400 BC, people start dipping their toe in poppy a little bit in lower Mesopotamia, like Southwest Asia. And the Sumerians refer to it in history texts as the joy plant. They're like, whoa, this plant is fucking sick. It gets to the Egyptians. They keep passing it on. The Egyptians get to it. They're like, we're going to need more of this, sweet cheeks.
Yeah.
Let's start.
Hell
so they
yeah,
start
brother.
Farming it. Demand skyrockets. All over Mesopotamia, they're starting to grow poppy everywhere. then the Silk Road starts to grow between the West and China. And opium makes its way to China. China says, oh, this is a spicy little meatball. We'd like some more of this, please.
That's a spicy Whoa. Meatball.
Yeah, they're like, this is a fantastic.
And also, China's- Silk Road might be the place that sounds the fanciest on the earth, but was probably a real shithole.
Yeah, and opium and poppies, they can only grow in certain areas. So China was having trouble growing it themselves. So the demand from the West to keep bringing it in, was growing and growing. By the early 1800s, there were 10 to 12 million opium addicts in China, despite a total ban of the drug in 1796. And every social class, from the very bottom all the way to the wealthiest, were affected by this.
Sounds like West Virginia.
Yeah. So the Chinese government was like, hold up. This opium stuff is destroying the entire country. So we're banning the trade from here on out. And in 1810, they gave an edict banning it. But the UK was making so much money that they started smuggling it through instead. They're like, there's no way we're stopping. Your demand in there is so high. We're going to keep it going. Up to 20% of the East India Trading Company's revenue was opium.
They don't talk about that in third grade. Miss Whitaker owes me a fucking apology. She said it was about tea and spices. I had no idea it was about people getting ripped on heroin.
Right. Their biggest, their biggest solid chunk of revenue was coming from opium, to giving it to China. The UK and growing it. So there were certain areas of India that grew opium really well. And that's why you look at the UK and Britain taking over whole chunks of other countries and saying, this is ours now. This is ours now. They took over whole chunks of India because that's where the poppy was growing, and so that they could control that even more and control the opium trade.
You know what just went through my mind in that same way?
What?
That's what people like Kinziger are saying that China is doing to us through TikTok, that they're basically putting the American population into like a trance in social media, getting all their different information, getting all their data, and then they're going to come in with it and just completely wreck shit. So basically, we're getting reverse Silk Road right now.
We're
Good
getting
God.
Reverse Silk Road, dude.
Tinfoil chapsy.
Well, by 1939, remember, it's been decades now since China, the government banned it and said, hey, UK, stop it, no more.
That always works.
Well, by 1830,
just say
Though, this is a different time. It was so much easier to pull up to any port you want. Like, it was so much easier to smuggle back then. There was no, radar. Yeah. There was no radar. There was no whatever. By 1839, 27% of the male Chinese population was addicted to opium.
That's a lot.
An enormous amount of people. So desperate, the Emperor of China wrote to Queen Victoria saying, you do not wish opium to harm your own country, but you choose to bring that harm to other countries such as China. And he was saying, because it was banned in the UK. It was banned in all the places that the UK ran because they knew that this shit was real bad. But yet they were pumping it into China because it was so much money. Eventually, China got so fed up that at this one Canton Harbor, they confiscate 1,200 tons of opium, 70,000 opium pipes, and arrested the dealers. And a bunch of the British ships had to escape the harbor, but some of the traders got caught and had to hand over their stock. All the opium was destroyed. So the British superintendent of trade was like, well, we're going to create this British ship blockade and stop you from getting anything else until you let us bring you opium again.
And they made it the death penalty, right, Kate?
I made it the death penalty. China made it the death penalty, too, if you got caught. Well, there was still a bunch of, remember, it could take like a year to get your ship of shit all the way around. There was no communication to let people know this was happening. So all these British ships carrying other goods and stuff were getting all the way to China and being like, come on, bro, can we just get through this blockade and drop our shit off real quick and get our jobs done? So this one British ship sneaks through the British blockade. The Chinese ships come out to help bring it in. Shots start popping off. Shit goes down.
Probably thus, cannonballs and what have you.
1839 to 1842, the first opium war. Then 1856 to 1860, France joined in that time. That's how desperate. They didn't care what effect it was having on China. They just were making so much money. That's all that matters. Well, the West had such a powerful military at the time. They crushed China in both of those wars and got China got stuck in super unequal treaties. And they had to give up a ton of territory, including, I should have looked it up myself, but like, I'm always wondering, like, what's going on with Hong Kong? Why the beef with Hong Kong? Well, because of those opium wars, China had to give up Hong Kong to the UK. And the UK, it remained under British control until 1997. It also, these wars crippled China's economy like big time. And that whole century was essentially known as, like, in China, they call it like the century of weakness or something. And part of me now, it's like a kid who gets bullied in middle school and you're like, why are they such a dickhead now? It's kind of looking now, it's like, oh, they never want to go to that place again where they were being bullied into accepting heroin for their country. And then they lost a ton of shit in the process. So now they got a little bit of a chip on the old shoulder. And, the, you know, I just thought it was interesting. I never knew any of that. I had no idea.
No, so, I had no idea that that's the reason why they had Hong Kong. I knew that they had like imperial power and like obviously that they had different commonwealths all across the world, but I had no idea that that was the reason why Hong Kong was not independent and was under the British rule.
Yeah.
Drugs, man.
Too, the first opium war in 1839, the UK was like, fine, we're at war. Bring in the troops. And it took an entire year for the troops to get there. So it was like they're just twiddling their thumbs in the harbor, like, do-do-do-do-do, after the big war
declaration.
It's kind of
like that scene in Austin Powers where he's trying to back up the car over and over again and he can't go. Like, we're going to go with war. Back up, forward, back up, forward.
I still don't know how they did war in foreign places back then with the slow communication. Like, how the fuck did that work?
It just took longer for the,
like, imagine getting all the way there and they're like, oh, sorry.
I wouldn't even be mad. Yeah, like a year later, like, it was like, what are we even doing this for?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. Opium. Yeah.
There's a lot more to read on that. I just kept it short, but really fascinating stuff. And obviously worth noting today, it's still huge. Like, the Taliban has openly banned poppy. They're like, there's an official ban on it. You get caught in big trouble, whatever, but it's still their biggest thing. They, in 2021, they made $2.7 billion of income off poppy and heroin and that whole opium trade. And they don't look at the way they are now. The Taliban has to rely heavily on that shit to make any kind of income because nobody wants to work with them right now. And so it's like crazy. So it's still a huge problem all around the country. And obviously, as we see in the U.S. today, it's still a huge problem.
I'm sorry, but I hear $2.7 billion. That doesn't seem like a large number. I know $2.7 billion is a lot of money, but relative to what other industries are doing, I feel like that's a really small number.
Yeah,
well, for them, I don't know. Okay. Oh, just saying for them, maybe, but you're right. Yeah, I don't know.
I have no
I wonder, like, how much, if that's like, oh, it's only 2.7
billion. So that would
be,
off
not paying attention.
That would be 20% of their entire gross domestic product.
Right. Okay, for them, it's huge.
In that context, that's much different. Got it.
Right. They rely on it heavily, as do a lot of other countries and yada, yada. Which brings us to today, in a memo, obviously, one of the biggest things they're drug testing for, because it's so addictive and so life ruining, is anything fucking, what do you call it? Opium, poppy, any of the products, the big four that I meant, the whole kit and caboodle, right? Oh my God, my brain. I swear I didn't truly.
No, you got it. Yeah. Katie
opium. So anyway, in a memo published Tuesday, the DOD warned service members that eating poppy seeds could result in a failed drug test. The military departments are hereby directed to notify service members to avoid consumption of all poppy seed. That includes bagels, muffins, rolls, and other baked goods.
Honest to God, that sounds like something that would be in Duffelblug. Like,
yes, it does.
We have the most expensive military in the history of the world, and we can't develop a test that can tell the difference between a pound cake and fucking heroin.
Yeah, and the DOD, well, so I have more to say on this because this perked my ears up. The DOD became aware of the poppy seed problem last year. The department reviewed studies and worked with a lab to analyze codeine and morphine levels in poppy seed brands, and new data showed that some poppy seed varieties have higher codeine contamination than previously reported, which makes me think, did this all come to light when a bunch of troops got kicked out and they were like, I swear to God, dude, I haven't done any drugs.
I was just
like,
eating the pound cake in the MRE.
Yeah, if you're in poppy seed platoon, give us a shout. We want to talk to you.
There has to be somebody kicked out.
It has to be.
I just think the levels of poppy that you would have to eat to have it come pop hot. It's like we always had guys who would pop hot on a piss test and they're like, oh, I wasn't smoking weed. I was just in a room full of people. It's like you'd have to be in that room getting hot box for hours on end for you to come up hot and not having smoked it yourself. So I think it's the same thing here, unless I'm just completely mistaken on the chemistry.
This one has zero tolerance, though. Like there is a tolerance level for like milligrams or microns or whatever, and the percentage of THC that you can have, because there's going to be some. There is no standard for that for opioids. Like, it's this pops hot, and the way that they do it is supposed to be 3,000 parts by million for as far as opium that they're detecting. These levels that are in poppy seeds oftentimes didn't go above 50. And so they are still popping hot. And the DOD is like, hey, so we don't have what I think it is. So we don't have to spend more money really validating this. We want to make you just stop eating poppy seeds altogether.
Okay. Yeah,
figure it the fuck out. We're the richest nation in the world. Can't we figure this out?
Also, I can't imagine that many troops. There's a poppy seed bread in one of the MREs, but I can't imagine. I bet you they're going to whoever got the poppy seed MRE, throw it the fuck out right now. Like,
I'd be eating so many poppy seeds right now, it'd blow your mind. Yeah. Like, just poppy seed, poppy seed. Actually, I wouldn't. I'd be
putting it. Cons. Like, who's eating that much poppy seed?
I think it has to be a lot, but I also will say I do agree from the standpoint of how addictive opium is, and you know, it's in painkillers. So I think, like, I don't even know, like, if they prescribe the level of painkiller in the military. They may not. I don't know.
It was
they
a big when I was in, it was a big problem that they were overprescribing.
Yeah,
and I remember that from my waiting platoon at fucking MP school. There was a whole group stuck in that waiting platoon just hooked on fucking pills. It was crazy. Yep.
Yeah, they'll give you Tylenol with codeine was a big one. Lortabs was a big one. Like, they all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever. You can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
All right, let's move on to round number two. We're going to talk a little about poop smelling. What do we got here, Kate?
Yeah, a little poop smeller. This story comes to us from Wales. Love it. So a nutrition brand is on the hunt for the world's first poumailler, a poop smeller, I guess you'd say, and experts in all things fecal. In a bid to break the poo taboo, the brand is looking to train people in the sights and smells of feces and what it can reveal about a person's overall health and well-being. So, say I'm feeling sick, I go to this Poussin Meunier, I take a little dumpski on a nice, I imagine, a nice little plate.
Oh, yeah.
I hand
blue
it to
plate
him.
Special.
Maybe a wine glass. Maybe I take a little poop in a wine glass. They swirl it around. They put their nose in it. They get a good whiff.
Spit it out into a little jug.
They check out the viscosity. Is it smeary? Is it
an
solid?
Earthy
is
overtone?
Is it rolling around like a couple deer pellets in there? And they're able to tell me, oh, you're just hungover. Or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's true. You can smell what's going on with people. Like, and I think that it doesn't get proven more so than the gym the day after New Year's Eve. Like, if you go in there to the locker room, buddy, you are in for a world of hurt. The things that are swirling around that bad boy, you need to be able to have somebody detect it.
I swear I can smell when my son's getting sick. His breath smells different. His poop smells different. I'm like, oh, I can just like, I'm like, he's about to get sick. And I'm usually right. Like, I can smell it on him.
I hadn't even thought about that. You could smell when somebody's getting sick. That's interesting. Yeah. Makes sense, though.
Mm-hmm. Trainees will receive 1,500 pounds, with one person eventually being given the role.
You got to bump those numbers up. If I'm going to be a poop smeller, 1,500 pounds ain't going to do it. Yeah.
That ain't cutting it. That
maybe
ain't cutting
per
cheese.
Poop, 1,500 aspiring, per week.
Aspiring poumailliers must be 21 years and over and be available to commit to a strict training schedule and have an eye for detail. I would be fascinated to go through this training. I would be
fascinated. Have you ever watched a documentary? I think it's on Hulu. Sorry, no free ads, but about people becoming master sommeliers.
Yeah, I've watched it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating how astute their sense of smell has to be. And you know, down to, oh, they can tell you what region of a country that the grape is from. So
I watched the TikTok cons. You're absolutely, there was a world's sommelier contest where they give you 4 minutes. They put out like six different types of wine and you have to say everything that you possibly can about this wine. And the number one dude in the world that did it, he went up to these different wines, smells it, swishes it around. And he starts telling you about, he's like, this one's from South Africa. It seems like it's going to be a little north of Johannesburg. And he goes through it and he's like, this is a 2013. And then he nails it like six in a row in under 4 minutes.
So this person would be like, crazy. This woman was at Applebee's last night. She had the endless riblets basket.
She went to Target. She's in the sales rack.
Yeah, she's definitely
sick. She had a Starbucks at Target.
Anyway, yeah, changes your bowel. So it's more of a publicity stunt that this group is doing, but they do make the good point. Like, you can tell a lot from poop. Do you know they even do poop implants? Like, if you have a unhealthy gut.
I thought about it. I looked into it.
Someone with a healthy gut. Yeah, they'll put a healthy gut poop in your poop, and that health takes over the illness of whatever.
Yeah, somebody else's poop is basically like those mushrooms in The Last of Us.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
Anyway, it reminded me of this NPR story that I heard in 2020 about this woman named Joy Milne. So I just wanted to read it really quick because it's fascinating. Like, trust your gut when you sense something is
especially
off.
When it has to do with your gut.
Truly. So Joy and Les Milne, they met in high school sweethearts. And she even noted how good he always smelled. She said he had a lovely male musk smell. He really did, Joy recalls. So after college, Joy and Les get married. He becomes a doctor. She becomes a nurse. They have three sons. And then one day, and she described it as like the most perfect marriage, like a whole decade of bliss. About 10 years into their marriage, Les comes home from work one day and she's like, you smell different. Like something is off. She said his lovely male musk had got this overpowering, nasty, like yeast smell.
And she thought he was cheating on her, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, did he have a bunch of glitter on his face too?
No, no. And at first she thought it must be something from the hospital where he worked. She kept nagging him, like, you're not showering good enough. You're not washing yourself well enough. And as the years went on, other things weren't changing. It wasn't just his smell. It was his personality. He was more moody. He wasn't as tolerant. They start fighting all the time. And it gets so bad, they think maybe something else is wrong. Let's go in for a doctor's appointment. And it turns out he has Parkinson's disease. Mind you, 10 years before they finally go to the doctor, she verbally noted something smells different about you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So over the next 20 years, once he's diagnosed, they start going to support groups. They start going to hospital wards sections specifically for Parkinson's patients. And every time she's around other Parkinson's people, she's like, oh my God, they have the same smell. They have that same smell I first picked up on him 10 years ago. What the hell? She says it's like a greasy, musty smell that she would notice. So she wondered, oh my God, like, I'm going to sound crazy, but can I smell Parkinson's on people?
You got to sound like an absolute lunatic when you ask the doctor that.
Well, first time you say that out loud. Yeah.
She says this to her husband, Les. She's like, I know you're going to think I'm crazy. 10 years ago, I smelled on you and now I smell on other people. And he's a doctor, so he doesn't think she's crazy. She's like, oh my God. He's like, this could lead to a breakthrough. So they reach out to all sorts of different people who do say you're crazy. But this researcher named Thilo Kunath takes her seriously after, at first he dismissed her. Then he read that certain dogs can smell certain cancers. Like, that's a real thing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, maybe she's not crazy. What's the worst that can do if we set up a study? He asked one group of people who had Parkinson's and another group of people who didn't go home for the weekend, wear these shirts all weekend, labeled them, brought them back in. In comes Joy. She has no idea who was wearing what shirt. She got every single one right. She would smell the shirt and say, Parkinson's, not Parkinson's, Parkinson's, not Parkinson's. Like, there was no denying.
She's like a military working wife.
There was one shirt she got wrong. One. And guess what? The person ended up having early stage Parkinson's. They didn't know it. Him being part of the study helped diagnose it. So basically, the research identified. So from this, like, what could be making the smells? The research identified certain compounds in the gut that could contribute to the smell Joy notice. And so they're getting closer and closer and closer now to early detection tools for Parkinson's, all because of this woman figuring out that there was something to it, that there really is a smell to it. So that's a long story, but I thought
That's fascinating though. No, I think that's very fascinating. And I think that's, you know, one in a billion that somebody has that ability, but forgive my naivete on this.
Oh, nice. Naivete.
There still isn't. Thanks. there still isn't a cure for Parkinson's, right?
No. They're working on it, all sorts of different drugs and everything. Mm-hmm. But
They've found ways to mitigate it, but not.
Okay, so maybe that's where the early detection comes in. If you can detect it earlier, you might be able to mitigate it.
But there's different types of medicines.
It doesn't become
and
overwhelming.
Everything
okay.
That you can take.
And they say, too, my godfather has Parkinson's, and physical therapy and strengthening, there's all kinds of things that the
boxing.
Earlier you get onto it, the better quality of life you have for much, much longer kind
that
of thing.
Sense.
And so early detection is like everything in a disease like that. So, yeah, just really fascinating.
There you go. All right, let's move on to round number three. I agree. That's completely fascinating. I don't know how that type of thing happens and what they do with it, but that's the fascinating part about science. They're like, oh, she could smell it. Let's figure out a way to make this into a test.
It's cool.
You know what, though? I think many, if you look back in the history books, many breakthroughs in science, all, you know, a lot of them came about accidentally because they were looking for something and found something else. I think that happens all the time.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. What doesn't happen all the time is what we're going to talk about in round number three.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
There is a pilot who's going through his basic pilot license, and things went a little bit awry. I could see if I was this pilot, the training pilot, I could see this dude thinking that everybody was just goofing. Like, totally see it, right?
Yes. So this incident occurred June 29th, 2022. And this pilot asked the instructor, hey, I'm learning, getting better at flying. Would you come with me on this flight? Conditions were really windy that day and above the pilot in training, above their personal limit to fly on his own. But he still wanted to get a flight in to stay in good standing with his flying club's requirements. So we asked this more experienced pilot, will you come with me? Will you be my instructor on this flight? The instructor agrees to fit in a short flight after he finished a lesson, and he boards the four-person Piper 28 plane. The pair were talking normally. They're taxiing down the runway. The pilot recalls that the last thing he heard the instructor say was, looks good, there's nothing behind you, just before takeoff. Shortly after the plane leaves the runway, the pilot says the instructor's head rolled back. The pilot knew the instructor well, and thought he was just pretending to take a nap while the pilot flew the circuit, so he did not think anything was wrong. The pilot proceeds to fly the entire course as normal, thinking, oh, this fucking goofball. But then the instructor slumped over so that his head was on the pilot's shoulder. The pilot still thought the instructor was just joking and continued to fly the approach with the instructor slumped over his own body. The plane landed safely, but even as the pilot was taxiing back, the instructor's head was still on his shoulder. This was when the pilot in training finally was like, uh-oh, something might be wrong.
Do you guys believe this story? Like, I believe that this happened, but how the fuck could you be so naive? And who doesn't say anything? Like, Conch and I are pretty good friends. If we're driving down from New York to fucking D.C., and I'm sitting in the passenger seat, I might put my head on Connor's shoulder for 2 seconds. And he's going to be like, what the hell are you doing, dude? And then I'd be like, I got your goose. I was just acting like I was sleeping. A full ass flight?
No, that wouldn't happen.
He's got his head on his shoulder. And you're like, no, this is
no way.
If it was me, I probably would just let it happen.
Yeah.
And just not say anything and just get bodied.
Yeah, we know.
We've seen that on the train. We know. Oh, man. But you're right. I'd be like, okay, Bob. All right. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And obviously he died. It turns out he had a history of hypertension and it was acute cardiac failure. So
that's sad.
I mean, come on. I feel like you can tell when someone's faking and when a body is just limp. Like, what?
I feel bad for this dude that had to experience it. He can't be a pilot. Like, if you have that level of you don't have situational awareness that somebody's dead on your fucking shoulder, you probably shouldn't be cruising at 30,000 feet.
That's a fair point. Yeah, because what else are you going to miss? If you miss the dead dude in your own cockpit, what else is going to happen while you're up there in the friendly skies?
I feel like job number one as a pilot, situational and surrounding awareness. Right? Like that should be qualification one. Do you know where you are? Are people sitting beside you dead or not?
Yeah. Well, this is bringing up another point. In the post-mortem exam, they discovered that his heart was so bad that it would have been disqualifying as a pilot. Like you shouldn't be able to have, and it's like, how many pilots are out there? Sorry if anyone's listening to this on a plane. How many Spirit Airlines he's hopping on board? Turns out.
Oh, I would not want to
definitely Spirit. I bet Spirit Airline pilots only have like half a heart. They probably don't even have a couple valves that they need.
Terrible.
But that being said, I do know that pilots listen to this show. Imagine, like, remember a couple years ago, Cons, there was a post that came out, several different fighter pilots did it in a row, where they would put like their little iPhone in and they would plug it into their aux cord and to their F-18s or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like they would fly from San Diego to Japan by themselves, essentially listening to ZBT. It's like it's, you're basically driving an Uber that goes like Mach 5.
Yeah. By the way, if I haven't said this recently to any of those pilots listening, please, for the love of God, give us a ride. I got word, Kate. I don't know if I told you this, Kate. I just got word that Large was offered a ride. Our colleague Large was offered a ride with the Blue Angels.
Mm-hmm.
Where the heck is our offer?
And not that my stepdad was Blue Angels. He like worked on the flight line with them. Like they're
on that question.
Yeah.
I'm willing to say nice things about the Navy and or Air Force if the Blue Angels or Thunderbirds give us a ride.
Now, what about what you say that the Blue Angels uniform was better than that year that they had the Blue Angel versus, I think it was 10th Mountain, right?
Yeah, but how are you going to beat the 10th Mountain uniform those white in the snow? Yeah, that was
I
amazing.
Think that any other year that I've seen at the game, I think that the Navy takes the uniform competition with the Blue Angels, but going up against those all white 10th Mountain in the snow, fucking rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, cheat code. So, yeah, hey, pilots, please, can we have a ride?
And I'm easy. I don't want to go up in the air, but I would like to be fully dressed in the cockpit and have a slow motion video of me as the cockpit opens with a fog machine.
How much money would me and Khan have to pull together to see you get ejected from the ejection seat safely?
Oh, my God.
Oh, $5,000.
That's
I mean, $5,000. Yeah. I think
Mama needs the money.
I think I would do it. Yeah. Another little portion of your down payment for.
Yeah.
Before we go, we should have somebody come on the show before we move to Chicago to explain all the different ways that you can use your VA loan.
Yeah.
Have a school circle on that person.
Yeah. That actually just reminded me, though, like the ejection. Kate, do you remember 4 years ago when we were in Daytona and you and I went on that ride, the slingshot ride?
Yes.
And it would basically be like that, but more intense.
And literally a week later, I blogged that a group at like the same one went to go and all the rubber bands gave out. It was just like, and well, it was, we had a good time.
Yeah,
we had fun.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Catherine, we will start with you today.
I think I got nothing.
Whoa, big time nothing.
I got my car registered in the legal time frame, which is huge for me. That's a big step.
Yeah.
That's a big step in the right direction for you.
Honest to God, it really is. It really is.
That's what they're saying.
I know. So that's really all I've got going on. As I dropped it off yesterday, I was like, look at me being a grown-up lady.
Isn't that a great feeling when you do something like that?
I was talking to my older kid yesterday about that. She was like, I'm trying to do adult things. I have no idea what I'm doing. I feel like I'm just guessing. I was like, babe, that's adulthood.
Like, look at Kate. She's got a kid.
Every day I make it up with you. I've been making it up for 17 and a half years. There is no parent book. Like, I just make this shit up. I've never had every single day of your life, Kels. I have never had a kid that old. Every single day of your life.
It's always new. I was shocked that I knew where my registration was and that it was in the correct place. I couldn't believe that my car insurance was up to date. I said, look at you. So anyway, that's
Captain
Cons,
I feel like this is appropriate. We got to give Kate a meritorious mask here. Like just unbelievable work, Kate.
Yeah,
well
thank
done.
You.
Attention to
thank
orders.
Thank you. Very exciting.
Stuff. Well done, Catherine.
We'll get the citation written up.
Yeah.
I guess the only other thing is, I think we've kind of talked about it, but like I feel like everyone's buzzing about it now around the office, is the Chicago move that I am moving to Chicago at the end of the summer. So is Chaps. And I'm just starting to look around. I'm starting to Zillow it out a little bit.
Oh, Zillow's
to see what's
so
popping.
Fun.
So that's fun. That's not really interesting. And then the final thing, I saw a post of Mardi Gras, which is going on this week, and I saw some of the Marine Corps bands are down there going through, getting the beads tossed on their horns and all that shit. And like, damn, that is awesome. It looks like they're having so much fun. People are being so awesome with them. And
it is, but you got to feel bad for these bands too. Because
no way, dude.
Oh, yes, you do. Because the bands that the military have, they're great. The things that they do is fantastic. Like the different balls that they go to, all this stuff. But there's certain spots where you should know as a band, you don't go. Like, you just don't do it, because all those bands that are in Louisiana, like the Southern universities and all like the historically black colleges that go there, Tulane's, all the different schools that are in Louisiana, they fucking go. Like, yeah, those bands are incredible. The Battle of the Bands. I respect the military bands. Give me Southern or Grambling's band 10 times
out
of 10.
Well, it looked like they were crushing it down there, having a good old time. And I thought, what a neat thing. So
quick story about Bourbon Street. We went there on a staff ride before we deployed to go to the World War II Museum and, you know, just do like a bonding thing with all the officers in the battalion. And I was having a grand old time there on Bourbon Street. And I walked back to the hotel, and I'm 23. I start walking back to the hotel, and I had met some young ladies, and they're walking with me.
Oh, hello.
And my battalion commander, he was sitting there. He was actually laying on the ground. I think he had a few drinks. One of the girls like sat on top of him and like asked if I could stay. He's like, hey, Lieutenant Crehan can do whatever he wants. He just has to get himself back. So that's my last memory of Bourbon Street.
What a wild idea to go to Bourbon Street before your deployment.
We took a bus
like pre-deployment drunk. Pre-deployment drunk is other level, man. Yeah.
We drove a bus from Fort Hood to Bourbon Street. So do the math on how far that drive is.
Dude, that's like a fucking 8-hour drive.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, yeah, he can stay. He just has to get himself back. So I got myself back the next day.
Spicy.
Hey, Kate. For Chicago, are you going to buy a house? Are you going to buy an apartment? Are you going to buy a condo? Are you going to rent? What are you going to do?
Let me tell you, as irresponsible as I am, I don't spend money on a lot of things because I eat so much canned food and I don't wear any clothes other than the ones from Barstool. So I actually have been squirreling away. I think I'm going to try and buy for the first time.
Well done, Kate. Katie, grown up all over the place.
But again, I'm looking at dumps. I'm looking at the cheapest so that I can have easy living. So I'm looking at real shitholes.
Yeah, but your son's going to live there too, right?
No, I know, but I'm looking at shitholes that maybe I can fix up a little bit, but that we're not... I'd rather us live in a safe shithole.
Dude, that's what we can do. We can do some longtime Thule at Kate's house.
Yeah, so like I'm trying to figure it out.
Because I'm going to need some fixing up, too. Those houses in Chicago that I've been looking at, to get comparable, I'm going to spend like $300,000-$400,000 more than here.
Yeah.
It's insane, dude.
It's like, opposite insane. For me. It's finally could maybe afford you'll to probably, live okay.
What you pay there, you'll probably be able to find a nice place.
It's pretty similar, but it's a little better, just a little bit better. So we'll see. Anyway, that's it for me. Just gossiping.
Cons, what about you?
Yeah. Do you guys have anything? Actually, let me start first. Just I'm a little upset right now. What's going on in New Jersey down the shore. There's like whales and dolphins that keep coming up on the shore dead. And that's just a bummer. Have you seen any of that, Kate?
Yes. Interestingly enough, everyone is saying it's the offshore wind things that are killing them. But this is actually the fewest dead whales they've had since 2016. It's actually the number's gone down.
So fake and news.
All these super PACs and all this whatever saying it's the windmill. It's very fascinating. I was doing my research on it just because I was curious. But it's fewer than normal dead whales, honestly.
If you can get anybody doing whale research, it's Kate.
So don't panic, but also it is weird. It is, you know what they said? One of the main reasons is a lot of the harbors and stuff around the cities are healthier now. So there's more fish there. So more whales are coming in closer to the shore and getting hit by more boats and shit like that.
Mm. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but you're right.
Either way,
yeah,
it's a
weird.
Bummer to see these pictures of these massive whales just ashore.
I went to Ladies Week in Sea Isle City last year with my lady family. And there was a dead whale washed up, and it was every day. It was like, should we all hop in the car and go look at the dead whale again? Yes. And we'd all go, and we'd like bring our little glasses of wine. We'd just stand there and feel sad and look at the dead whale.
Do you remember? I think it was in the late 90s. You probably don't remember, but there was a blue whale or a humpback whale that came up to the shore in San Diego. And it was so big that they couldn't move it. So they had to put like C4 and dynamite charges underneath it. And they blew the fucking whale up to oblivion. And like people said, for hundreds of yards, there's pieces of blubber that were like falling down on cars and shit.
I think in hindsight, they were like, yeah, we shouldn't have done that.
How long would it take to decompose a fucking blue whale?
I was in Sea Isle, they were dragging it and they dug a giant hole and they dragged it with like a bulldozer. And the whole town was out. We're all like, ooh, oh, ooh.
How deep do you have to, if you have to bury a person 6 feet under so they don't stink, how much do you have, I mean, a whale? 30. You gotta go on like 50 feet.
Pretty deep.
30 to 50 pretty feet. Deep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anything else, Kyle?
Fascinating.
Yeah. Speaking of dead, I'm sure you guys saw the news that Clinton aide that just kind of turned up dead, but it was tied to a tree and something around his neck. I'm just curious what you guys think about that. Oh, you didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, it was like there was an aide to the Clintons who, you know, maybe had some dealings with Jeffrey Epstein, and he was found tied to a tree, electrical cord around his neck, gunshot wound to the chest. And it was ruled a suicide.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to need a second look
curiouser
at that, Gary.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Curiouser yeah. and curiouser.
I don't know. I don't know about those Clintons, man. They might not be good people.
If I was the Clintons at this point, I would have a special committee to try and make sure people around me didn't die in weird ways.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Now I'd be on the other side trying to keep everyone alive.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Those.
All right. Last thing
Clintons.
Really quickly. This Little is, minxes. I'm going to put you both on the spot. I was live event. Lisa, our colleague there at Barstool Sports, she was talking about going to the Masters. And I thought to myself, it's probably something I'll go to one day. It's a reasonable thing to think that maybe I'll get myself to a Masters one day. Is there anything in your life where you think like that'll probably happen at some point?
Yeah. Whether it's like an event. Appalachian Trail.
Okay. Uh-oh.
I know in my heart I'm going to do it someday.
I really, really hope, because I had kids so young. Like I was 22 when my first kid was born. I would love to do a European vacation with my wife. Like once the kids are all out of the house, go for like a month and a half and just take trains and shit like that. That's a huge bucket list item for me. But the big one that I already accomplished, I never thought when I was a kid that I would ever step foot at a Super Bowl. And being able to do that my first year here was like a legit, there's so many things that happened in those first 2 years. And now it's been like, I've been around a lot of that stuff. The first 2 years blew my fucking mind working here. Like the things that
did
we were
able to do.
Did
you go to the game?
Yes. I went to the first game in Houston. I did. Yeah. But it was
awesome.
Fucking great. Like the things that we've gotten to do is amazing. Anything else, Cons?
No, that's it.
All right. So I've been reading a lot of science stuff. I know Tate hates it when we talk science. Listen to this. This is primarily for Cons. Cons, did you know that so far that new telescope that they put out is only 300 million years away right now of being able to see the Big Bang happen? Like they can see the first universes that were formed only out of 4.5 billion years. They're only 300 million away and they haven't even got there. There's some, listen to this shit. How they fucking know this stuff? I'll never understand. This one blew my fucking mind. There's a neutron star is what it's called. And it's one of the farthest neutrons from here. And this neutron star is 10 times bigger than 10 of our stars put together. With one teaspoon of the neutron star, if we brought it to Earth, it would weigh, this shit is fucking crazy, it would weigh 10 billion tons, a teaspoon.
Oh, that's how dense it is.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. So, like, you just tell me numbers, and it's like, all right, I guess I'll take you at your word because I can't refute any of it.
I'll tell you what, when the office got a tungsten cube, Cons, did you get to hold the tungsten?
No, I didn't. I saw it though,
buddy. It blows your mind. Things are small but dense. Shit,
I don't understand. 10 billion tons in a teaspoon, that's crazy. That's crazy. It's just crazy. And there's one spot that they found in these little cluster of galaxies that they see that's only 300 million away from the Big Bang. They said in each little spot that they can see is more galaxies than we previously had ever known existed in one little square that they've been able to see from that far away. Those people are smart as fuck. They're either smart or they're making shit up.
Like, that's what I'm saying, dude.
Teaspoon? A teaspoon weighs billions of tons?
How can I say no, that's wrong? I can't, right?
You can't.
Like, who's to say that they're right? Just because they, you know, wear a hat that says they're smart, that they're smart? I'm just going to take
them
at their
word. I think those people are pretty smart, Cons. Like, that one woman who found the black hole formula, and it was like a stack of papers, like 2 or 3 feet, and if one little number is wrong, it doesn't work. Those people are crazy smart. I don't understand it. Yeah. But that teaspoon fact, like there's a science fact every week that I follow. Now I'm a subscriber to Our Science. If I do a little weed, I go in there and those facts just blow me away. Every night I'll be like, babe, check this out. This is unbelievable. This is crazy. And secondly, Kelsey working at a fast food place is one of the best things that's ever happened to me.
Well, for those who don't know, I don't know if you've said where she's working or do you, you don't know, well, I want to.
Yeah, I don't want to say the actual restaurant because it's pretty close to my house. But okay. I go in there in the morning and I know on the days that she knows that she's working, like I know that she's working. And I also know that she's working window number two. Like, you know how some of them have like two lines? She's working two. So I'll go into number one because I don't want her to hear my voice whenever I'm going through. I'll cruise up and she's the one handing out back. I'll be like, give me that food. And she'll, Dad, thanks for coming. Here's a Dr. Pepper. It's so sweet. Like today, whenever I did it, I went up to get food. She came all the way out of the store to give me a hug in my truck. What a funny day, man. What a day.
I love that.
Sweet. That's so being a dad is the best, even though I complain about it a lot and like the stress that they bring in. Being a dad, Cons, I can't wait for you to experience it, my friend.
Yeah.
It's on the retreat.